Blog Talk Radio.
Show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Hey, I am super excited. We're continuing with the cast and crew, a couple of very important people on the upcoming fantastic film that I just love called Guns of Eden. It drops in about 2 weeks, I believe, December 6th from Uncorked Entertainment. And I would like to welcome Mr. Gregory Lamberson and Mr. Bill Kennedy to the show. Gentlemen, how are you?
Thank you, Jamie. Good to be back.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Very, very cool. We got a little late start getting started, but I just want to tell you both, you're coming through loud and clear. So we're cooking with grease, man. We're cooking with grease. Fantastic. Gregory, you've done it again. I mean, I don't know, when you make these films, you just go out and point to the outfield, and there it goes, you know. Home run. Fantastic film.
I wish it took more than a swing to get there, but thank you. I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, absolutely. And Bill, I got to say, I have heard through the grapevine, you're a nice fella. You're really cool. A fun hang. not so much in a film. Not so much. I don't want to give anything away, but I know it's acting.
I definitely try my best to, go by the golden rule, treat people the way you want to be treated. But, seeing the film and hearing those type of reactions means that Greg led me up to a good at bat so that I could hit a home run too.
Fantastic. I had Chris on, cinematographer extraordinaire, and Alexandra on, played Megan in the film. And I got to tell you, after watching this film, Greg and Bill, I came away with a very important lesson. Don't be a drug trafficker. Stay away from that as a career. It doesn't end well.
Say no.
You shouldn't do that. Any kids listening, don't do that. But no, I joke. This is a fantastic film. This is, I know in some of the write-ups I've seen, some of the press write-ups, it's reminiscent of Deliverance and First Blood. Yeah, absolutely. Both fantastic films, by the way.
We definitely wear our influences on our sleeves. We want people to know what kind of movie that is, and we tried to deliver that kind of movie.
And I think he did. I just recently rewatched First Blood. And, Brian, what was his name? Brian Dennehy, I believe. He was a messed up sheriff, too. Bill, did you watch First Blood and say, this is what we got to do? Or did you just, happen to know?
This is actually, out of that plan. Yeah, that was the hook. That was what, when Greg presented the idea of the script and the characters and, what my character could potentially be. He mentioned First Blood, and that is, if it's not my actual favorite action movie, it's definitely in my top three. So I was very familiar with the material, very familiar with the character, and, let's do this. Let's swing for the fences.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you've delivered. Everybody, every actress. I didn't find, and I'm not one of those guys. I really don't review movies. I enjoy movies too much to, I'm just not that person that picks apart things. But honestly, I didn't see, Greg, you might think it's different, because you're probably like me. With my paintings, I'm like, oh, God, look at that. That's all I see are things I could have done better on it. But, I didn't see anything that was glaring or even I was aware of. No shortcomings. I was very impressed. And you made a female action hero, the protagonist, and it was no love interest. I'm like, wow, this is pretty progressive, you know?
You know, I know Alexandra mentioned
that.
I know that Alexandra mentioned that I wrote that script back in 1996. And if I had done the movie back then, it would have been very radical having a female action hero. Now, all this time later, I mean, it's almost a subgenre of its own. But when I wrote it, it was actually something very different. But if I had done it in 1996, I wouldn't have had Alexandra or Bill in the film. And Alexandra was born in 1996, so she was born to play this role.
Oh, well, there you go.
Bill, when were you born?
That's awesome. Me?
Probably about 7 years, 8 years before First Blood came out, so I actually had some chance to do some research.
Right. Alexandra's never seen First Blood.
What? How can she not see? Oh, come on, Alex.
I gave it to her as homework, and she's even younger than you would think. So a lot of the movies that you and I and Bill would just consider part of our DNA. Oh yeah, I'll have to watch that one.
Oh, absolutely. During the pandemic, I got in this weird kick where, you know, I just ran out of stuff, and I refused to. My wife was, you know, busy watching The Tiger King and Love Island or whatever. You know, I'm like, oh, this is the episode where the pretty people get into a fight. Yeah, not my cup of tea, no thanks. So I started watching these weird YouTube things where these kids would watch a movie and, like, make comments about it, you know, while they're watching it. I'm sure there was all kinds of copyright issues with that, but whatever, I was watching the kids react. And I tried to watch a couple times, you know, they tried to watch The Jerk, mostly comedies, Airplane, and they missed half the jokes because they were too young.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they didn't understand the world.
My daughter's 16, you know. And I encounter that all the time.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember this one kid I was watching one. They watched Blazing Saddles, and they about had a heart attack. I've never seen anybody that young get so worked up. And
yeah.
Maybe, I guess that's good. You know, they kind of missed the point. Anyway.
It's definitely a different culture. I took my kid to see that in the theater, and I remember she did not like it.
No. I'm telling you, these young, my wife's a bit younger than I am. This literally happened a week ago. So I'm out in the backyard, and I'm messing around, you know, as you do. And I noticed there's a black racer snake out there. And you know, it's fine with me. We don't have any mice out there or anything. So, you know, he's doing his job. And so I saw him a couple times, and I told her about it. I said, oh, yeah, there's this black racer snake out there. I named him Blackie. She about had kittens. She's like, you can't. It's 2022. You can't call him that. What's wrong with you? I'm like, okay, we'll call him Speedy. My mistake. Please don't post about it on TikTok. Oh, my gosh. Anyhow, makes me feel like
I get that.
Man.
I get don't post that on Facebook. I get a lot.
Yeah. But, you know, here you are, Gregory, once again, great film. And, you know, I know that it's not released yet. It's got kind of like a week and a half or something like that. But, you know, all the people like me that have seen it early all seem to be loving it, you know. And some of those people get a little crazy. But they're liking it, you know.
Well, fingers crossed. Because, you know, people tend to be especially tough on low-budget films. And I feel like this doesn't necessarily look as low-budget as a lot of those films. But
right.
the audience doesn't believe you can't compare this to that. Because to them, it's the same 2 hours or hour and a half of their time, either way. It doesn't really matter to them if you had to struggle, you know, to have lunch that day. They just want to be entertained and... they're going to be very tough and unforgiving if they're not.
I have horror friends that are horror fans that are that way with horror movies. And I honestly just don't watch movies with horror movies with them because they're annoying. You know, they're like, yeah, those intestines don't look right. I'm like, what? How do you know what intestines look like? Are you kidding me? But, you know, whatever. I think this did not, and I understand, because I know, Greg, you make, what do they call it in the business, micro-budget films, you know, where you're making movies kind of guerrilla style and whatnot and getting these done. But this does not have a look of that. This looked like, you know, you at least had a megaphone, I imagine, and a dolly, and Bill had a trailer, and, you know, I mean, it looked like a production, like a big production, you know?
Yeah. Bill's trailer was the form of a 10x10 canopy.
I've been working on film since 1984. I'd like to think I've picked up a thing or two.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know what I mean. When these young folks
absolutely.
Make a, or, you know, not even, you know, it kind of, you're like, this was shot on a phone. And somebody, I don't know, though, because the phones are pretty good. But you can tell sometimes. You're like, I don't know about this one. But yours wasn't. You are the anti, I don't know about this, you know. You're like, this is kick-ass. I liked it. And, man, it's weird that you wrote this in 1996, because it is so fitting for today's, the world we live in today. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's crazy how timely it is.
Yeah, I was telling the guys yesterday, I was like, you know, every day I turn on the news and I'm seeing this, you know, corrupt cop. I live in Florida, so, you know, that's pretty much. That or somebody got bit by an alligator. You know, it's...
I don't have the budget for that.
No. There's no alligators in upstate New York. Well, maybe there is. I don't know. Who knows? One gig it loose, you know. I don't know. But this is very cool. And also, I had kind of forgot. I don't know how I forgot, but... I think it was Alexander, might have been Chris, reminded me that you do a big film. Not only are you making hit movies, you also do a big film festival up there. Don't have a lot of free time, do you, Gregory?
You know, I think like everybody, I found a lot of free time during the pandemic.
Ah.
But I do try to keep I try to keep busy otherwise.
It's crazy. Bill, has he gotten you involved in the festival yet? Because if not, I imagine it's coming.
Well, as far as an actual employee, no. But when he puts me in his films, that basically constitutes the same. I've also been lucky enough to have a few of the other films that I've been in and participated in, you know, get up on there on the big screen at Greg's festival. So I've been attending for... I believe it's 7 years out of the 10, something like that. 8 out of the 10, but I'm always there. That much I can say.
That's
Bill
amazing.
Is in Niagara Falls,
10 years.
Which is right next door to Buffalo, so we're neighbors.
I got you.
I can think off the top of my head of 3 different features that we've shown that you were in, Bill, excluding mine.
How? That's pretty cool, Bill. That is pretty cool. I don't know if you're a married fellow or not, but if not, I would start with that. You know, when you're at the bar, hey, I've been in 3 feature films that were you could have seen here. Been in many more, but, you know.
Yeah, well,
you'll
love
that.
I have not put a ring on anyone's finger, but I don't know that I don't know if that's the shot I'm taking by telling, hey, everybody, I'm been in 3 films. But I've been lucky. You know, I feel like, you know, Greg was doing a lot of writing and directing and things in the 80s and 90s. I kind of started getting involved with some local stuff in the late 90s. And then I even made an appearance on the set of Dogma as an extra. And that kind of started my juices, like, hey, I could do this. So
that's amazing.
I started. That's kind of what I did. I was traveling around, going to different sets in different states as an extra. And the more I did it, the more people were like, man, where, how'd you do that and how'd you do this? And then I started telling everybody in the Western New York area what I was doing, and then groups of us started going to Pittsburgh and Cleveland. And I feel like as that was happening, the industry itself was starting to get notoriety, and people were like, where are you from? Western New York. Where, what are you doing? Where are you from? Western New York. And we started just building this big conglomerate of wonderful professionals. And now, you know, with the great tax credit and incentives and all of everything starting to, you know, you're seeing the big Hollywood sets come here. I was just on a set last week for a television show. Everybody except for two PAs and myself were, the rest of the crew was from LA, and it was a wonderful experience. So we're plugging along, and we're just enjoying it.
That's amazing. That is so amazing. We so New York's a good place to make a movie, you're saying. I mean, they got it together with their taxes and whatnot.
You know, it picked up a lot, and then the pandemic sent us back, and it's slowly getting back up to where we had been. These tax credits are all important, because if this state has a higher one, or if they pay out faster, a production will go there instead of to New York. So, you know, it's a constant political situation where some people are trying to increase the credit, other people are trying to decrease it, and all the people who just want to stay in their home city and make a living doing this sort of wring their hands waiting to see how it's all going to turn out.
Yep. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
Hey, rockers. This is Stacey Lane Wilson, author and editor of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series. I have a new podcast that features interviews with musicians, artists, authors, filmmakers, and music historians. In season one, I interview Phil Soussan from Ozzy Osbourne's band, Scott Crawford, the director of the Cream magazine documentary, Lisa S. Johnson, the award-winning author and photographer of the books 108 Rockstar Guitars and Immortal Axes, just to name a few. The Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast explores the dark and mysterious and sometimes funny side of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Enjoy on RSS or anywhere you like to listen to podcasts.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. absolutely. I was just reading an article in our paper here in South Florida, in Fort Lauderdale. They were all excited. They're like, oh, we're going to have these great tax breaks. And, you know, and the people that are eligible, this is where, and so I'm reading the newspaper. Again, ladies and gentlemen, just let me preface this. I am not in the movie business. I'm just, you know, a guy. But so I'm reading this article. And what got me is they were like, yeah, to qualify, the film has to have at least a budget of, I think it was $450,000. Like, I don't know anybody making independent films that are starting out with $450,000 cash, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me?
That's exactly
that
the problem. For a long time, we had no threshold like that at all, and $50,000 films that I did and $250,000 films all qualified, and my investors got a nice chunk of money back. Then they implemented a threshold of $250,000, meaning you have to spend at least that much money in the state. So this one, Guns of Eden, didn't qualify for that at all. We didn't even come close to that. So it's not really helping the little guys right now, and we're hoping to change that back to the way it was.
Absolutely. And it I'm sure it breaks down to people, you know, they see stuff on TV, and I'm the same way. You know, I didn't know until I started doing the podcast, meeting people like you, Greg, you know, I'm kind of learning about this stuff. I'm by no means an expert on any of this, but, you know, people have this preconceived notion of you know, numbers and money, and because what they're seeing are, you know, Disney or somebody talking about the latest Star Wars thing. Yeah, Disney's got that kind of money, man. Mr. X here making, you know, Mr. X's Vault of Horrors doesn't.
There's a lot of nuts and bolts involved, and sometimes those nuts help you, and sometimes you just have to work around them. And, you know, I'm going to make movies whether I get those credits or not, but it is easier if you're getting them. It's an easier way to attract investors.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the amazing things that Chris and Alexandra mentioned yesterday to me, and I was not aware of this, you guys filmed during the pandemic, and you were so smart in this, Greg. You filmed outside. And there's like a lot of gunfights, and this, so everybody's kind of, they're not in close. You weren't filming Hitchcock's Lifeboat, you know, where everybody's in the same room. I thought that was very smart, you know.
The irony there is that when I wrote the script back in 96, the reason I put it away was it was just too ambitious for me to consider doing when I lived in New York City. I mean, where am I going to go out to the woods mm-hmm. every day, you know, and get a helicopter and this and that? And then the pandemic happened, and just because 90% of it was outdoors, suddenly it was the most practical project to do of the ones that I had sitting in a drawer.
Yeah, That's amazing. Yeah, you know, helicopter. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. Who would have guessed the kids with drones would change filmmaking? You know? Oh, you need an aerial shot? No problem. Melvin over here is going to shoot up a drone. And you don't have to spend $20,000 on a helicopter. That's fantastic.
And now it's
become
almost a cliche, the types of shots that those achieve. And in this film, I was very careful to use those drones in a way that helped tell the story. In other words, not just a shot of the car driving through the woods like we see during the credits of every film now, but to somehow incorporate it into the action that was going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right about that shot. It's kind of like when the Matrix. Remember? Oh, yeah. Remember when the Matrix came out and everybody was doing that jump and then slow down effect?
Yeah.
I saw that in an Oreos commercial, and I'm like, okay, guys, reel it in.
One of our producers had his heart set on doing that effect in this film, and I was just like, you know, this is really an ode to 70s and 80s films, and that's a 90s concept.
Right,
so it really, decade. I mean, it would be fun to attempt for a low budget film, but it's just not quite this project.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The big thing I remember about the 90s is everybody loved that yellow filter. Oh, my, you know, how can we make this look even more? And it was raining. Every movie, it was raining constantly. You know,
the seven factor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. I watched all those films. I enjoyed them. But, yeah, the 70s, 80s action-packed. I mean, I grew up in that. I grew up with the original Predator and all those Schwarzenegger, you know, all the action movies, Stallone, all of them. And they were great. You know, young guy, I ate that stuff up with a spoon. It was fantastic. And maybe that's why I like this movie so much, you know. It didn't seem dated to me. It seemed, like you were saying, very apropos for the times we're living in. And it wasn't shot. I should have told Chris this yesterday, but the cinematography was on point. Did not look dated.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was sort of the challenge to sell it as a 70s thriller and an 80s action movie, but to have it look contemporary enough, you know, that people, you know, you don't see the fake scratches in the film and stuff like people do so often today to try and send you back to that era. I kind of make the point that, you know, Lloyd Kaufman and I were both making movies in the 80s, and that's really the only way we know how to make a movie. So when our films evoke that time period, it's really just because that's all we know how to do.
I got you. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store, it's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
My Love Shack Apothecary online shop has everything you need to build a special gift for yourself or someone who needs a little pampering. I hand make all of the products in small batches using only plant-based ingredients and therapeutic-grade essential oils. Whether you choose one of my curated sets or want to build a custom gift set, My Love Shack Apothecary has everything you need to send a little sunshine to someone today. Please visit us online at www.loveshackapothecary.com. That's www.loveshackapothecary.com, as well as online on Instagram and Facebook. Links are in our website.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Rucks Gear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
It's me. In my little world of art, it's the same thing. People are like, you're so good at pop art. I'm like, yeah, I went to school when this was happening.
Right.
Before there was a Nagel painting in every nail salon, I thought he was pretty cool. But
be glad
anyhow,
there's no review aggregator sites for paintings the way there are for movies.
Oh, no. I don't know if my skin's that thick. Oh, it's crazy. Now, Bill, you were brilliant in this film. As I mentioned, you know, such a great villain. Do you enjoy playing the villain? Is that kind of fun, since you are a nice guy in real life?
Well, I appreciate your kind words. Again, you know, Greg put me in a good position. I read the script. I just went through the ups and downs of, you know, this guy, is he a control freak? Is he 2 or 3 steps ahead of everybody all the time? What happens if he loses control? And that's kind of what we figured out was the case. And I was also lucky enough to work with our local hero, Josie, one of our great, great, great talents, acting coach. And she just put me on a whole nother spectrum as far as what I should be looking at, how I should be, you know, delivering my lines, how I should be, you know, just connecting with the words and like letting the character speak for itself. So, again, you know, Greg put me in a great situation. Josie helped me tremendously. I did the work. I read the lines. I had some really intense, long monologues that Greg wonderfully, chopped up through the how he wanted it to play out on the screen. But there were a couple of times, like especially the climax of the movie and the rah 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 get ready to go find her scene, where I really had a lot of dialogue, and it just turned out great, and I couldn't be more grateful.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
well, you did a fantastic
I really did give him a lot to do in that I call it the rally scene, where he gets all the hunters together and gives them their marching orders. And he was dead on. He got it.
Yeah.
He nailed it. Bill and I have been sort of in the same community for a while now. We just haven't worked together. But, I mean, he knows that I take what I do really seriously. So I know he felt pressure to deliver, and he definitely came through. And, I have a friend who's very mad at me for not casting him instead. But Bill just had the look I wanted for this character, and my gut told me, you know, you've never worked with this guy, but take a chance. He's going to come through, and he did.
Well,
that's
appreciate
amazing.
That all around, you know. And as far as, like, playing a bad guy, I mean, I think when I really think about some of the characters I've already played, like, I played Dr. Frankenstein, and, you know, it wasn't a heartwarming role. It was like, this guy is, you know, going off the deep end. So for me to try to go against what I consider myself as being a good, wholesome, down-to-earth person, and doing that, it's acting. And that's why I say, like, for whatever time it is that you're filming, for whatever time it is that you're working, you know, you got to go in, knock it out of the park, and do what's best for the film. And for me, I remember attaching to my both characters. There's times where I had a conversation with my mom, and I said things. She goes, "What did you just say?" And I'm like, "Oh God, I'm sorry, Ma. I was in character." So, I brought it home. I brought it home with me.
and it was okay because it worked.
Wow, that's awesome. I was just, I don't know how true this is or not. I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about villain actors that play villains, and they had told me, and again, I don't know if this is true. You know, people talk at parties and stuff, and folks, you know how it is. But they had told me in The Shining that Jack Nicholson hates cheese or something, so he was eating grilled cheese sandwiches every day to help him just get in a pissy mood, I guess. And, you know, I'm like, oh, well, whatever works. You know, it obviously worked with him. I recently rewatched The Shining after they told me that, and I'm like, ah, I get Michael Keaton as Batman, or Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Totally sold me on it, you know.
Yeah, I didn't eat anything as far as trying to get myself in character. I mean, maybe I did some Hulkamania and said my prayers and took my vitamins, but other than that, I just really tried to attach to the character and the feel of what was going on in each scene. So, and that was the other thing that I did, and Josie helped me with that, was don't think about the whole entire movie. Don't think about the whole entire character. Think about the moment, and that's really what I did.
Nah, well, that worked. It worked. Greg, one of the cool things about this film was and I don't have a lot of experience with this, but it looked awfully cool to me, was the costuming and whatnot. Was that an expensive thing? I mean, I don't, you know, you're like, I need 17 flak jackets. You know, I mean, where do you find that stuff, you know? And it can't be cheap.
Well, I am sort of the de facto costume designer on this one because I couldn't afford to pay a costume designer. I did buy six fairly expensive tactical vests, but I also had in my possession other vests and army gear and prop weapons from a friend of mine named Chris Ray, who shot a movie here in Buffalo called Assault on VA 33. And I had all that stuff sitting in my garage, and we just accessorized it. So I would work with each of the main character actors and say, okay, this is what I think we need. And they would online find the cheapest thing that fit that description, and I would order it. So collaboration with most of them, but I was the one handling it.
Well, it looks great. It looks great on the screen, man. You got to be careful buying that much stuff.
Oh, yeah, you do.
You can't show up your house.
In New York State, you can't order prop weapons and have them delivered through the mail. So if I didn't have them and Chris didn't have them, just finding them locally was a bit of a challenge. One of the guns that really stands out is that Gatling gun in the back of the pickup truck that Alexandra fires.
Uh-huh.
It's like the Predator gun. That was one of the ones we borrowed from my friend Chris Ray, but ours is even more souped up because Chris put 12-inch extensions on each barrel. So if you see it again, take a special look at that gun because it's really tricked out.
Yeah, that was an impressive piece of artillery. I was like, oh, man.
Well, it's great. It's great. And it feeds into the whole thing. All these police departments are getting all this surplus military stuff we're seeing, you know. That's all coming out and everything. And so, of course, they would have, you know, a giant Gatling gun in the back.
I don't know squat about guns, but I know when they look big and I know when they look cool on screen.
That definitely happens.
All you need to know. That's all you need to know, Greg. You brought it home. Oh, man, I love it. I love it. Now, Greg, to switch gears, Chris let the cat out of the bag a little bit, said you're working on a werewolf movie.
This is true.
First I heard of it yesterday.
I opened this movie and wanted to shoot it after Johnny Gruesome. And the Haunted Lighthouse movie, Widow's Point, came to me. So I did that instead. The author presented me with a book, and we worked together to raise money.
Yeah.
And then I started working on the werewolf film again, and the pandemic happened. And a movie, a Cabin in the Woods movie, in which your whole cast and crew have to be in a cabin, is not safe to do under COVID circumstances. So I had to look for something else to do, which is why I did Guns of Eden. But now I'm back on track with a werewolf movie, yeah. And we're looking for financing. So fingers crossed that it happens sooner rather than later.
Well, there you go. Any listeners, any millionaires out there that need to put some money to work, I would suggest getting in touch with Gregory and write him a check, man. Write him a check.
Hopefully it will be that much easier. Hopefully it will be that much easier when Guns of Eden's been released and people can see it and say, wow, you did this for that much? So.
Yep.
Exactly.
I got my pom-poms ready for you for that, for you, Greg. Like, this is just, I'm just so, like I said, just happy to see what we did and happy to see it come to fruition. And now hopefully other people around the world will see it and come running with those checks.
Man, I have a bad feeling. I have a feeling in my gut that my phone is going to die before this interview concludes. If I leave you, nothing violent happened to me.
Either that or the cat jumped on your phone.
Well, that could happen too, yes.
Yeah, so I've had that happen. Oh, man, the other day the dog's tail hit the mic button here, the thing, and I'm sitting here talking, no one could hear me. Just dead air. Oh, man. Oh, crazy. Well, this is a fantastic film, and I think, now you've already released this, right, through the festival circuit and everything? It's been out there, or is it going to be released now?
So we were never planning to do a big festival run, because the DVD was set, but we did premiere it at my festival, and we went to the Shauna Shea Film Festival in Massachusetts, where it picked up a couple of awards, Best of the Festival Feature and Best Female Performance. And then we played at Lusca Fest in Puerto Rico, and that was our last one, and that will be it, because now we're coming out fast. And I got to say, I am happier to have a film come out than I am going on the festival circuit for a year while I look for distribution and then come out.
Right. That's got to be a drag, because these festivals don't happen
it really
every
is.
Other weekend.
It really is. So, I mean, the film is being seen. It's being seen a year before it would have been if we had done it the other way. We actually sealed our distribution deal about 2 weeks before we started shooting the movie, which has never happened to me before.
That's amazing. That isn't supposed how that's supposed to work. I don't want to say that too loud. I don't want these newcomers, Uncorked Entertainment. No, they're not newcomers, folks. These are heavy hitters. I was worried about what's-his-face from Uncorked with this last hurricane. He lived up the coast from me, up the state, I should say. And, I was thinking about him every time I watched the news. I'm like, I'm happy that it's missing us, but I'm feeling bad for the people up the state. Crazy. But yeah, I've never heard of that either with them, with anybody, really. That's pretty awesome.
Well, they released Johnny Gruesome, and the guy who owns the company, Keith Leppard, is super nice. Like, he could just send me my statements, but he always sends a nice little cover letter, and he happened to ask me what I was working on, and I told him about the werewolf script, and I told him about the female action film. He said, oh, well, I just did very well with the female-led action film. I'm interested. And things progressed quickly and on a easy, friendly manner.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love working with people that are cool like that, where you're not, where you don't feel like a landlord trying to collect rent or something. You know what I mean? Where it just goes, it's such a difference. At least in my world of
it's nice when it happens.
Things happen. Yo, man, yeah. Go out for pizza that night. That's great. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, Chris also mentioned, it was a very, I know we have to see how it does and whatnot. If everything fires, do you think sequel on this? Because I think it's a cool world. You've got the infrastructure.
Well, I would like there to be a sequel, because that would mean the first one did well and people liked it. I want it to do well, and right. I want people to like it. And even though I don't consider that ending a cliffhanger per se, it is open-ended, and I have something worked out in my head on how a second one would play out. So if, for instance, Uncorked were to say, hey, these foreign people really like the film, I can get you some pre-sales, can you do another one, I'll be ready to go.
Nice.
But
we actually
crowdfunded this film. We did very well. We crowdfunded about $100,000. I mean, it doesn't mean you have $100,000 to make the film, but at a time when crowdfunding is very hard for movies, we did well with it. But it's a lot of work crowdfunding. It's as much work crowdfunding as it is making the movie, and I don't want to really go through that again. So if the money is there from somebody to jump in and make the film, I'll be ready.
Absolutely. I've heard that about crowdfunding. I have a friend of mine. She's a musician, and she's done 7 albums, all crowdfunded. And, you know, she used to sell real estate before she did that. And I'm like, so, you know, we were just kind of BSing one day. I'm like, so is it really that difficult? And she's like, yeah, it's really that difficult. It's a full-time job that you're working overtime on.
Right,
so
around
ready,
the clock.
You know. Yeah, absolutely. I had another friend of mine. I don't want to say anything and get anybody in trouble or anything, but they were a little late on their what do you call it? The perks or whatever.
The perks.
Sending people the
perks.
Movie. Yeah, delivery of the perks. And Kickstarter did not mess around with that. Oh my gosh. They were worse than American Express. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And you know, you just got to keep on top of that stuff because, you know, I was telling him, I'm like, you know, when you're going to make your next movie and you're doing this, if you don't have a good track record, it's going to be a problem, you know. Well, this is amazing. Well, you've got it, man. You've got it. It's a fantastic film. Great cover. You've got great actors and actresses in it. Pretty good writer, you know, up-and-coming director. I'm kidding, Greg. I'm kidding.
He's okay.
Yeah, you know, he's all right. He's a little weird.
That's
okay.
Award-winning author, award-winning director. You know, that, he's okay.
Exactly. Greg's run out of room on his business cards for everything he does. You know, got to go with that really small font. Oh, man. Well, you know, no. This is a great movie. I want everybody to see it. I'm going to be reminding people, and Chris brought up a good point yesterday, which I have added to all the graphics and shows, folks, on our show page here. And these links stay active. When we convert this to a podcast, these stay active. If you're listening to this on Spotify, hello from the past. We love that you're listening. But, yeah, you see up there where it says Amazon. You can Amazon pre-order this today. Just click on that link, and it'll get you there. And, you know, that's always a good thing, man. There is no better gift to an artist, and I don't care if you're a painter or a butcher or a baker, whatever you do, and in a band. The whole point, what we enjoy, nothing more beats it, is when people dig your stuff. And nothing says you dig something more than buying it, you know? Seriously. So,
absolutely. People liking it is the main thing.
You know, that's why the Rolling Stones are on tour at, you know, 78 or however old they are. They're hooked on that. You know?
Guns of Eden DVD makes the perfect Christmas stocking stuffer.
Absolutely. Fits right in there, folks. It fits right in there. And everybody, I don't care who you are, somebody in your family, somebody on your holiday list is an Action Passion fan. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, I really enjoyed this. My wife really enjoyed this. I don't know if it was the female lead that did it for her, but she was into it, man. You know?
Good.
Maybe it's because she just doesn't see it enough that, you know, that a woman kicking ass and taking names.
Listen,
right?
You don't have to rationalize why your wife liked the movie. It's just good that she liked it. Don't push it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Happy wife, happy life.
Exactly. Well, that's how it goes, you know. That's how it goes. Well, you gentlemen, I know you're busy. You're doing a lot of these. You know, the fine folks over at October Coast probably have you doing a whole bunch of these, I would imagine. thank you so much for taking time to be on our little show here. We really appreciate it. You guys are awesome.
Thank you for doing a double shot of Guns of Eden promotion. Two episodes. That's awesome.
Yep.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me and having us, you know, both days. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, Greg, I know you're going to be back soon. We're going to be talking about werewolves and this and that, you know, as soon as you're ready. And, Bill, you're such a good actor that I know you'll be doing another project soon, and I'll add you back on as well, you know. So,
well, I wholeheartedly appreciate that because the things that I've been through and from where I started to where I am, and I still have, you know, mountains to climb, I really do appreciate those sentiments. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, I don't know your past, but, you know, it's all right. You did your time. You're out now. See, folks,
that was kind of ominous.
Better share.
That was kind of ominous sounding, wasn't it? Bill has the noble profession. He's a teacher.
Oh, my gosh, Bill. What subjects do you teach, Bill?
I'm doing 7th grade social studies and 7th grade science with a periodic help in math. So my daily grind is to try and help shape the future leaders of our country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just did a thing with SETI, and I kind of do a couple of things with them once in a while. And it was like a talk thing. We were like a live stream type thing. And they were asking, they're like, hey, did you have a teacher that got you interested in, because I'm a painter by trade, but I'm also into science. And I said, yes, Mr. Christopher, 7th grade science turned my world upside down. You know,
well,
teachers are so
I do kind of use my acting and the film industry and some of the things that I've experienced as part of lessons, as part of motivation. A lot of my students think it's really the greatest thing ever that I have a picture with Chadwick Boseman, you know, rest in peace and rest in paradise. And when they see that, because I do have a lot of, I'm working in inner city of Niagara Falls. And they think it's the greatest thing. And I just keep telling them, I said, I can work with you on certain things. I can point you in the right direction. If your parents are interested in, and you're doing theater, because now we've got it set in Niagara Falls where they're introducing things at a grade school level. They're talking more and having clubs in the 7th and 8th grade level. And then on to high school with the drama program. So we're starting to build little staircases for everybody.
That's fantastic. That is such a good thing to hear. You know, so often, especially that segment. I grew up in Metro Detroit, so I know what you're saying. It is so important. It is so important because these kids are going to be running stuff. It's crazy.
Well, it's amazing for me because I could have the absolute worst day, whatever happened in personal life or even at school. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the day, you just have that one student that just smiles and tells you thank you, or you see the light bulb turn on, they get it, and then they're motivated. That's what makes it worthwhile. And I'm just like everything I have going right now, I'm just truly blessed.
Well, that is pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. Those kids are very lucky, you know. And how cool would that be? Mr. Christopher was cool. He knew a lot about science and dry ice. I remember it was awesome. He wasn't in action movies. He would have been awesome in it, but he wasn't in them. I think those are some lucky kids, man.
Well, it is super fun. Cool. Like when, even one of the teachers was like, hey, Mr. Kennedy is in a, in a movie. And then they pull up the trailer and then the kids actually see me and see my name. And they're like, wow, you really are in a movie. And then it's like, buddy for the rest of the day, which is really, really warming. I it basically melts me almost immediately, but I don't tell them that.
No, that's awesome. And Greg, you're doing, man, you're making all this happen too. This is very cool. Hey, let me ask you this, Greg, are you working on any new books or anything?
One of the crowdfunding perks that I have to deliver is a novelization of Guns of Eden based on the earlier drafts of the script. So I am doing that, and I'll probably be doing a werewolf novelization for the werewolf film. Other than that, I'm concentrating on film right now, not the books. And the reason for that is that my publisher that would greenlight anything I wanted to do filed for bankruptcy and went under, and I just haven't felt like looking for another publisher because I don't think I'll find one that let me do whatever I wanted. You know, I had a great relationship with those guys. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Oh man!
But you know,
I have a good friend of mine.
I know I can write books when I get older, and I can only make movies for so long. So I'm going to do the hard work while I can, and then I can sit back on the books.
Yeah, for sure.
We get you one of those Disney scooters, you'll be all right. You know, do it
in the woods.
Take 148. Yeah, that's right. It's in the woods. No, it won't work. Oh my gosh. I have a friend of mine. She just got her first book publishing deal, and you know, she's over the moon. She's very excited and everything about, you know, all this and that. I was out to dinner with her. Me and my wife were out to dinner with her and her partner, and she's like, I just can't, you know, wait till I start. I said, sweetie, you understand this is like movies. You get paid quarterly. You know, don't go buying swimming pools yet. You know?
Yeah, royalties is a rough business, I will tell you. We're coming up on my least favorite time of the year, which is when I have to go back and fill out financial statements for all the investors of my films going back years and years and years. And, you know, in many times I'm paying them like a check for $5 for the year. And now I got to fill out a statement reminding them that I only paid them $5.
Oh,
it's like, Greg, it's like Steve Martin in The Jerk. Remember when he had to make restitution for the Optograph? $1.98.
That's exactly the case.
Oh, man. Well, keep entertaining us. I will say this about the pandemic. You independent film folk really got us through that. I don't know how they did it in 1917. I guess they wrote a lot of books, but yeah, man.
Yeah, there were no TV shows in 1917.
No, not at all.
No binge watches.
No. Yeah, maybe The Shadow on the radio. I don't even know if there were radios then. I don't know. I have no idea. But, yeah, crazy, man. Crazy. But thank you. Thank you both for making this film. I really enjoyed watching this. Great.
Oh, I wholeheartedly appreciate that. So the one thing I do love about the film that I'll say is that I can just keep watching it. Like, I don't look at it. I don't watch it for me. I watch it for like the whole, like I enjoy the film. Like, it moves. And once it starts, it goes. And that's, I feel like I can just watch it over and over and not be bored of it.
This is going to turn into one of those films. I have certain films, you know, Billy Jack, a native, of course, you know, if I'm flipping through the TV.
Oh, you said that yesterday. I'm a huge Billy Jack fan. It's an obsession of mine.
Oh, I'm telling you, we're out, the town I was born in Oklahoma, Tahlequah, Oklahoma, man, they used to play that and people would get worked up. We were ready to play. The grown-ups, I was a little kid when they would go see that, but the grown-ups would be like worked up, man. They were ready to fight. You know, I'm going to take this foot and hit that side of your face. And there's nothing you can do about it. And he did. It was great.
I'm such a big fan that I even watched the other ones, the bad ones.
Oh, yeah. With the bikers. Yes.
From Jack Goes to Washington.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Yeah, matter of fact, I shouldn't even say this. Because my wife was asking me, because I'm one of those people that are real hard for Christmas, so she has me make a list. And because anything I want, I just get, you know, when I have the want of it or save up money to get or whatever. But I make it happen. And so I'm making my list the other day. I'm starting it. And I'm looking on Amazon, and I'm like, oh, a Billy Jack hat band for my hat. Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. I can see my neighbors roll. It is so bad. Oh, man, my neighbors, I know they make fun of me. I have a Chinese Shar Pei for a dog, you know, those wrinkled dogs. And she loved wearing kerchiefs, you know, the handkerchiefs. And so I bought her a bunch of native handkerchiefs. And my wife's like, yeah, you're Chinese Indian dog. I know. Can't help it. She likes it. I like it. But no, another movie that I see when I'm flipping through, Roadhouse. Your film was going to wind up, Guns of Eden is going to be like that, you know, where you're flipping through and you see it and you're like, oh, I gotta watch this polar bear fall on that guy, you know, with Roadhouse. And I'm going to be like, gotta watch Sheriff Preacher here. Oh, man, what a jerk.
I enjoy some of that aspect too, because I have my friend, you know, like a lot of my friends will bust my chops and, you know, they don't call me Bill. They don't, you know, some of them that have known me forever don't call me by my last name anymore. It's just like, hey, Preacher, come here for a second.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, that's great. That is great. Well, thank you both so much for making this and being on the show. Really appreciate it. It's, you know, this has been fun watching the show. The movie was fun. Keep making them. I can't wait to see more.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yes, thank you very
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right, have a great,
folks, that's
have a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, what? Yeah, you guys too. That's right. Thanksgiving. I'm going to be cooking a turkey this weekend, actually, and not for my family. My wife's family always goes to for Thanksgiving, and it's always I'm always kind of disappointed with the amount of leftovers I come home with. I'm not used to that because they have a big Italian family. And I, so this year I said, I got like three turkeys in the freezer because if you spend X amount of money at the grocery store, they give you a turkey. So, you know, I have them. And I'm like, I'm going to make my own turkey. Then I have my own leftovers for the week. So that's what my wife's going to be out of town. Yeah, making a turkey this week. Never made one. How bad? How hard could it be? Millions of people.
You just gotta monitor it. I actually enjoy cooking, one of my little side things that I do. But if you're into smoking meats, smoking a turkey is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I got a smoker. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
Me and my Chinese Indian dog.
Keep an eye on it.
Three birds, you could experiment on one of them.
Yeah. You could do. Oh,
you know,
you
I do. Have.
You could do a deep fried, a smoked, and an oven roasted. You could do all three.
That is very true. That is very true. And I got some elderly neighbors. If it's too much turkey, I can give some to them. There's always somebody to give turkey to.
Absolutely.
Very, very cool. Well, yeah. You guys have a good Thanksgiving. Now, you guys live there in town, so you know you're not having to travel across the country or anything, right?
Nope.
For the holiday?
No, we're waiting on this big snowstorm. We're supposed to get 3 feet of snow this weekend.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. I tell you, everybody I went to college with so many people from Western New York, and I didn't believe them until I went home one time with a friend. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, snow
yeah,
is crazy.
They didn't anticipate it so much that they're moving the building from Sunday.
We have mild winters, and every sixth or seventh one makes the news, and that's what everyone knows us for. This one, if it happens, they're going to know us for this.
Yep.
Oh, man. It reminds me, I watch these Alaska shows on National Geographic, and I was watching one the other day, and these people were on it. They were going muskox hunting, you know, because like they do. So they're on these snow, these skidoos and stuff out there, and they're like, well, winter's coming. We need to meet for the winter. And I'm like, it's a total whiteout. The muskox are all standing there in the blizzard. I'm like, I would say winter's already here, guys. Should have done this 2 months ago.
The thing is, we're set up to deal with the snow. It's not really that big a deal. The problem here really is that winter lasts for 6 months. That's the frigging problem.
Great. I grew up in Michigan, man. Those great
man,
guys.
It was a child show.
People ask me, they're like, where do you live in Florida? I'm like, well, I'm not a big giant fan of Florida, I got to say. But, yeah, I don't like the snow. You know? Can't handle it. I'm old. Very cool, guys. Well, everybody, I wanted to mention, not only do we have that Amazon link to pre-order, we also have the Facebook link, the Instagram, and Twitter accounts, all linked there. You, like and share. I tell everybody, if you dig something that somebody's doing, like and share. It's the world we live in. Their social media accounts. Also, Now, I know that this film drops in like a week and a half on December the 6th. When you watch it, listeners, when you watch it, every place has a – you don't have to write a doctoral thesis. Just, you know, a couple sentences, what you dug about it or whatnot. That helps shake the – tilt the pinball machine a little bit, you know, shake the tree a little bit. Gets it in front of more people. Super important. So, you know, they made a great film on a budget, and, you know, you can't tell, but it was. And any little bit we can do to help, besides in addition to watching it, helps. So, you know, let's get this werewolf movie made.
That's right.
And the sequel. And the sequel. I want to see more. Very cool. Well, folks, everybody have a great weekend. Remember, the world's still a little weird. Be patient with people. You know, everybody's doing the best they can. So be nice. When you're nice, people are nice to you. It's just how that works. So be cool. And we will see you. We'll be back on – when are we going to be back? Monday. That's right. We've got a very cool new glam rock metal band out of Las Vegas called Jet Black Woman. Tune into – these guys are crazy. Tune in to see them or listen to them, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Jamie.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hanna Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.